Buddy, I'm a compulsive reader. I've got to start out right now by telling you, I had an expectation this morning that I was going to wash my hair and it was going to look fantastic for this talk. And guess what? I'm having a bad hair day. That's why it's all pinned up. But that's the whole thing. We have to let go of this kind of crap that holds us down. I pinned up my hair and I'm ready to go. And I let go of that expectation. The second thing I want to say is welcome to Janet. Janet, I can tell from your phone number that you are a Valley girl, and so am I. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley of California. Yay. Welcome to our meeting. Okay, I'd like to open up with, we just heard the last person share about, resentments or unmet expectations. But actually, my favorite slogan about expectations is this: expectations are premeditated resentments. Expectations are premeditated resentments. The moment that I start forming an expectation, and if I don't get what I want, or that person doesn't do what I want, boom, it turns into a resentment. And the whole key to this program is to stop at the expectation stage and not let it turn into the resentment stage. I'd like to say I'm going to talk first about my own expectations, and then I'm going to talk about expectations of others and how I handle each of these categories. And the first thing I do for myself every day is I release myself from the bondage of ego, the bondage of myself. That's the third step. I turn over my life to God. I try to do it wholly every day. Naturally, I cannot do it perfectly. But that starts the willingness to let God run the show instead of me. That's very important, basic. I say the third step prayer. When I go for walks, I will say, left, right, thy will not mine be done. Each foot has a step, a word, and I say it, and so I repeat the prayer every six steps. I do that. I've been doing it for 4 years. I like it because I really want to stay in God's graces instead of my head. I also try to release myself from perfectionism, which is a curse that I have since birth. Probably, and I got it from my parents, who also were perfectionists. And it probably is genetic. But anyway, I have it. So I have to release myself from the prison of perfectionism. So whatever I'm doing, I try to just remind myself all I have to do is my best. And I don't have to do it perfectly. Progress, not perfection. So one of the things that I say in the morning, I remind myself, if I'm doing my best, that's enough. I don't have to do the 20 things on my list that day. I can have a list, but I don't have to feel like a failure if I only do 10 of them. I just always have to say, I'm doing my best and that's enough. Now, what happens when I make a mistake? We all do. Okay, I am going to give you an example. I'm going to give you several examples because, I'm human. I make mistakes. The first one is one that we can all relate to. I was going out to dinner with some friends maybe 3 years ago, and I was abstinent. And I committed to, eating an abstinent meal at this restaurant, but I made a poor choice. And the food that came to me, it was very greasy. And I ate about half of it. And two things happened. I started to feel sick, but worse is I started to feel guilty. I felt like I broke my abstinence because I ate all this greasy food. And I couldn't sleep that night because all these negative voices were taking over my head that I broke my abstinence. I'm a failure. I got to start back at the beginning again after relapsing 50 times. Now it's going to be my 51st time. you name it. That's what was going on in my head. So because I am on the path of recovery, I went to a meeting the next day and I actually shared about it. And so somebody came up to me after the meeting and she says, "Hey, have you forgiven yourself yet?" Wow, that was an eye-opening thought. I had not forgiven myself. This stranger, this complete stranger, tells me that, and that's exactly what I started doing. I started to forgive myself for eating, you know, one half of a meal that was a poor choice. And instead of beating myself up for the next 20 days and probably binging for 3 months, I just let it go. So that's the thing. I forgive myself if I make a mistake. It's very important. I treat the mistake as a learning lesson. What can I learn from this mistake? So, okay, here's a, I can give you a couple of examples. I mean, I got so many, but a few years ago, I was suffering severe pain. I do have severe physical problems and a lot of pain. So I went to physical therapy and the guy, he gives me homework. He wants me to do exercises at home. And it was really painful to do all these exercises. I was in a terrible pain. So I didn't do them. And I would come back twice a week and he would say, "Well, did you do your homework?" And I would say, "No, because I don't lie anymore. Since I'm in OA, I try not to lie." And then he's after the third week, he said, "Hey, if you're not going to do the homework, I'm discharging you. I'm firing you." And he fired me from physical therapy. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that happened. It was the first time in my whole life I was ever fired. And wow, I said to myself, "Whoa, this has got to be a learning lesson. Whoa." And so I went to the gym a couple days later and I started doing those exercises at the gym. It was probably that I didn't want to do them at home and I should have done them at the gym, but whatever. I started doing them. And within a week, the pain was relieved somewhat. I wasn't at that excruciating level of pain anymore. So learning lesson is take instructions, follow them. And I at least be honest. I told the guy and I took the consequences of being fired. I didn't beg him to let me stay. And I also forgave myself because I didn't do it the way he wanted me to. Okay, that was a good learning lesson. That won't happen again. I will probably, since I did go back to physical therapy twice after that, and I did do the homework exercises. Yeah, I do that now. Okay, so let's see. I can give you another example. Okay, we heard somebody say this, and this is, I want to repeat it. Don't should on ourselves. Don't use the word should. Try not to use the word should. Like I try not to say I should do this, I should do that. I try not to say that. Here's an example of how that works. Okay. When I got back into program 4.5 years ago, I was gung-ho. So I started reading Voices of Recovery. I started reading For Today. Then I added in a couple more daily meditation books from other programs and outside sources. And then like I was up to 5 books. And then I was also reading 3 at night. And one day I didn't read all 5 and I didn't read the 3 at night. And guess what? The voices started screaming at me that I'm a failure because I didn't do all the reading that I had assigned myself to do. Whoa. So I talked to a sponsor about that. And she said she had the same problem. So she put all her meditation books in a tote bag and she just grabs one. And that's the one that she reads that day. Wow, eye-opening. It was a release from the prison of this assignment that I had given myself that I had to read 5 books a day or I was going to be failing, binging, shame and guilt. So I don't put that pressure on myself anymore. I do what I can, and it's okay if I read just 1 meditation book. It's okay if I don't write. I mean, it's okay. As long as I'm abstaining and breathing, It's okay. Everything else is a bonus. All right, now, I guess I'll go with one other example about a mistake that I made. And it was early in COVID last year when I was terrified that I was gonna die. I was really afraid of everything. We all know that, we all have that. But at that time, I started eating excess food. Here's the key, I did. I didn't binge, I didn't go to my trigger foods, but I ate a lot more than I was normally used to eating. And okay, I did that for maybe a month or 6 weeks, and then it started getting hot and I put my shorts on that I'd worn the previous summer and they didn't fit too tight. Whoa! Okay, at that moment, I had a choice. I could either go out and binge and say, okay, I'm a failure. This is another relapse. I mean, forget about it. I'm a loser. Or I could say, hey, this is a learning lesson. I'm going to cut back on my food. That's all I have to do. Just cut back on my food. And bingo. Within a month, I was back into those shorts again, which I'm wearing right now. And so for the whole year, I have maintained the weight since I last spring when I gained it and took it off. Progress, not perfection. I'm not going to beat myself up for what I did. I did it out of fear. I looked at that very carefully because I now look at my feelings instead of eating over them, and treated it as a learning lesson. So that's what I have to say about mistakes that I make, expectations that I put on myself. There's no timetable for losing weight. That's another one. The 15 pounds that I carried all the time, I always was so desperate to lose them. And there's no timetable. Okay, it's in everything in God's time, including weight loss. Okay, including weight loss. So that's what I have to say about that. Release the obsession about weight loss and weight maintenance to God, and just scale it back. Scale it back until you can come to a happy medium about a happy agreement about how often you're going to weigh yourself, or if you're going to weigh yourself, or, you know, all of that, and release the obsession, because it will all happen in God's time, not ours. Okay, that's kind of what I want to say about expectations that I put on myself. Now, let's turn to expectations that I place on others, which, believe me, I do many times, many, many times. So I'm going to repeat what I said earlier. Expectations are premeditated resentments. So anytime that I put an expectation on somebody, if it doesn't turn out my way, normally, often, unfortunately, it has turned into resentments. And I also learned that from that four-step inventory that we did in that same workshop that Janice talked about. Those sheets were very helpful, the worksheets on step four, for me to understand how important my expectations have played in my resentments. So I'm going to start with some examples and, you know, what happens and what do I do? Okay, one of my bugaboos is customer representatives, customer service people. Oh, God. I'm going to just admit to you, I have screamed at them. I have yelled at them. I have hung up on them. I screamed at somebody at the post office. I have a problem. I have an issue with customer service people. Probably, I think they should be doing it my way. They should be as smart as I am. They should be as fast as I am. And sometimes I don't like their rules. And I have in the past screamed, lost my temper. But I do not do that anymore. With customer service representatives and people at the post office, I take a deep breath before I even go in the post office. And I pray for serenity even before I go in the post office. And the same when I dial the 800 number and get the customer rep. Soon as I talk, I wish her a good day, you know, try to establish a friendly tone. And I also speak slowly. And I lower my voice. I try to change my tone because I know I have a harsh tone sometimes. People have told me that. And loud, I try not to be too loud. So I have, for the most part, in the last 4 years been able to have successful conversations now with customer service representatives. I don't expect resolution. I hope my problem is resolved. I don't expect it. Sometimes I do have to call back or ask for a supervisor, but I do it in a nice way now. And they're not even at the top of my resentment list anymore. No. Okay, now I'm gonna say, well, it's the key to this issue of expectations of others is exactly what I guess what Cheryl read. It's page 417 of the Big Book about acceptance. We have to accept people as they are, people, situations, and places. It's when we don't do that that we get into problems, okay? So another example, like when I got married a long time ago, I knew that my husband was the opposite political party that I was. And that was a source of friction for a while. He tried to convert me and I tried to convert him, but no way. All we did was we had a peaceful resolution about our differences and we agreed to disagree and we canceled each other's vote out for the entire time that we were married. But you know what? It didn't bother me and I have no resentment about it. I didn't care. He's entitled to his opinion and I'm entitled to my opinion. Okay, but to the contrary, when my husband got sick and it was horrid, he didn't try hard enough to get better, according to my view. My expectation is he should have tried harder to get better. He should have done things. And I was so angry at him for the entire time that he was ill because he wasn't trying hard enough. And I won't get into any more, but do you know that I had to write him a letter after he died to apologize for how angry I was at him during the last couple months of his life because he didn't do it my way. Wow. So, I did have expectations that he was going to get better and it didn't work out that way. And dealing with that uncertainty, that another part of expectation is we want certainty. We demand it. Our addictive minds demand certainty and it's very difficult to let go of it. So dealing with someone who one day I thought he was going to die, the next day I thought he was going to recover. I had no certainty whatsoever. And through program, I was able to simply keep turning it over to God, turning it over to God. Every day, I made a point of going to a meeting every single day during that time period so I could share about my fears and deal with the uncertainty. And that helped a great deal. Okay, so another example of expectations and what to do about it. Oh, 5 minutes. Well, I got to tell this one really fast. I had a birthday last year and my best friend didn't call me. Whoa, was I pissed. Can you believe it? She didn't call me on my birthday. We've been friends for 50 years. I was pissed. So what can I do about it? I can ignore it. And that's what I chose to do. Although in hindsight, that was not the proper thing to do. In hindsight, what I other options is I could have written her a text and said, hey, you know, I'm waiting for your call, kind of joking about it. Because as it turns out, when we finally talked about this 6 months later, I held on to this resentment for 6 months. She just forgot, whatever. She just forgot. Okay. It was no big deal in her mind. And yet I had been holding on to this resentment for 6 months. So I'm going to just close by this, by saying page 417, it tells us that we'd have to accept people exactly as they are. I urge everyone to reread it, page 417 of the Big Book. But let's assume, like in my case with my best friend, that it turns into a resentment of over 6 months. How do I handle it? Well, we've got an answer for that too. That's in the Big Book on page, 552, I believe. And at 552, it tells you the recipe, the exact recipe for what to do, which is you start blessing them. You start wishing them happiness. And it does help, because the anger in my head, it did shrink with towards my best friend. It did shrink. It wasn't as hostile as it was in the early part towards the end. And that's why I finally reached out to her and we reconciled, because I had blessed her enough. And I've now forgiven her and we've moved on. That's it. Okay. So let's see what else I want to say just to close up. Okay. Our job with expectations is to stay in the present, accept people as they are, don't place too much burden on ourselves. And if we do make a mistake, please let's forgive ourselves and know that we are perfect children in God's eyes. Wish we could be that way for ourselves, but we're not. So we have to forgive ourselves and, take the third step every day. Every single day, turn our will over to God and our life over to God, all of our expectations, so that we can stay in the present and be with the people that are around us. Thank you so much for letting me share.